Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 183. It's called Busted, and I will explain why it's called that here in just a few minutes. But I'd like to welcome you for coming along. It is the week of September 22nd, 2013. I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, center of the universe, central Virginia, northern hemisphere, Earth, wherever you're listening. Welcome, and thank you for downloading the show. If you are a new listener, I'd like to welcome you. Thank you for trying out the show. Even if it's, since it's episode 183, you can pretty much just jump in wherever. Either you're going to like the podcast or not, probably after listening for a few minutes. So I'd like to welcome you and thanks for coming along. And also like to thank all returning listeners for the every third week or so edition of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. This week, I'm going to be talking about, Busted. I'll talk about two guys that I encountered at the end of a training run that I just had to take some action on. And I'm going to do... really going to talk about my marathon training for a little bit. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about Neil Richard and my upcoming interview with him, which I've got scheduled for just a few days from now. He's got his own podcast, and I'm going to just kind of do a little intro on that at the tail end of the show to kind of like a teaser for the next podcast, which I hope to get out shortly after the interview with him, because that's that gets recorded by itself through using the TalkShoe website. Well, let me back up a few weeks. For the last 4 weeks, my mileage has been well over 20 miles a week, and that's a huge thing for me for training for the Richmond Marathon, which I think is November 10th. Let me check. Not really sure. November 16th. November 16th is the Richmond Marathon. That's my next race, and it'll either be my 26th or 27th marathon. I'll have to check on that. I can't really remember. I think my 25th was the Dahlgren Heritage Trail 50K that I did up in King George County, about an hour from here. But a couple weeks ago, I met up with Steve Buoni, who is one of the listeners of the podcast. We did a 7 mile here in Ashland, just the two of us, and it was a lot of fun. And but the only problem is that I was really struggling. And he clearly had no trouble at all. I kind of tried to hide how much I was struggling. I'm not really sure why. I don't think I stayed up late that night, the night before. We ran on a Saturday morning here in the center of the universe. But he is well on his way to good things with his distance running. He's had some outstanding finishing times in the half marathons that he's run, which he's come in inside 2 hours. And I think he's training for the Richmond Marathon, so I definitely will see him down there. And Steve, maybe we can hook up for one of these long training runs that we have coming up. I think our training weeks are off of about a week, because I did I'll talk about what I did this past weekend. But anyway, he and I exchanged emails, and he's a new listener to the show. Glad to have him along. It was kind of cool to go out there and get to know him a little bit better during one of the training runs. But he clearly had no issues at all for the 7 miler. And this is several weeks back. I was still struggling just a little bit, but I have now passed the threshold of pain into the double digit threshold of pain. And it's actually, it's pretty good to be in a situation where I'm able to go out there and do double digit mileage and really enjoy it. So, full speed ahead for Richmond, not literally, but figuratively. Definitely focused on November 16th at this point. I guess I should get the date right. And, yeah, looking forward to, I think, my fourth or fifth Richmond marathon finish is what I'm hoping to accomplish. So let me fast forward a little bit to the 13-miler, which I did a couple weeks ago. Did okay with that. But what happened was I had an awesome 7-miler the day before that, which was on Friday the 13th. And I was hoping to do that on the Thursday of that training week, but it just didn't work out. And it just, for some reason, I can do a 5 miler in the middle of the week pretty easily, but when it gets to 7, for some reason I get this hang up, because I do all these after work and in the evening. I get this hang up in my brain about, running for over an hour, but that worked out really good. And I want to talk a little bit about the weekly training group that I've been running with. Not every week, but usually there's a couple characters there out of this group. And you've heard me talk about these guys before. We got Rodney, who has done multiple marathons, 100Ks and 50 milers. We did the Keys Ultra Marathon together a couple years ago. We got Ashlyn Bob, who's a two-time marathon finisher, multiple half marathons. Generally is interested in being out there every week. Of course, got Ashlyn Tom, who is a regular listener to the show. I don't think Bob's always saying that he needs to listen to it, but I don't think he does. And then Rodney, I think he does, but he stays pretty quiet. Tom is a regular listener. He is always up for multiple miles, as is Rodney. They sometimes will run before the regular group run. And then we got Kevin. And Kevin has done a couple half marathons. He usually does the 8K at the Richmond Marathon with the Richmond Marathon, because Richmond Marathon has that full, the half, and then they do an 8K, which, if you're not sure what the distance of that is in mileage, it's just a hair under 5 miles, if I'm not mistaken. So pretty much it's considered a 5-miler. But Kevin has kind of gotten into distance running. He's a math teacher and is actually a softball coach at the Randolph-Macon College here in town, the varsity softball over there. He does that on his off time, and very successful at that. But we've got him into distance running, and he brings a pretty funny perspective to our kind of ad hoc weekly group that isn't always together every week. I wouldn't call it a weekly training group, because you know you can't just show up and there's always going to be people there where we meet. We usually have to kind of organize it. Sometimes it kind of falls apart. But it's really good to have this group out there, because everybody's got a little different abilities, but at the same time, you know, respects each other, and it's always been a lot of fun to having these guys out there. When I did 2 weeks ago, I did a 10-miler on the weekend with these guys, and that was really the first time. Didn't really feel it during the 13-miler as much, but after this 10-miler, I got home. That was the first time I really felt the ache of marathon training. Now, if you don't know what the ache of marathon training is, it's and I'll see if I can try to describe this. At least in my experience, the ache of marathon training is that feeling of when you park your car, you know, at a shopping center or a grocery store or whatever, and you kind of have to swing yourself out of the car a little bit instead of just stepping out. You kind of have to pull yourself out a little bit. And it's kind of like that kind of overall body ache that is kind of always there. It doesn't keep you from going out and working out. It doesn't stop you from doing anything. But your body just starts carrying this ache around. And you carry that right on up until marathon training, until you recover. And at least it has been for me. And for me, that's kind of been a good thing, because I know I'm in a good training mode, and I know that my body's responding and hopefully growing stronger. So the reason I made a note of that is because that's the first time I'd felt that in this marathon training cycle. Now, after that 10-miler, I did a 7-miler in midweek, and I'm going to talk about this one. This was on Thursday of last week, and the reason this run was significant is because of it's the diet that I had for that day. And I'll just walk through that day real quick, and maybe you get an idea of what I mean, and maybe I'm onto something. I'm not sure. I haven't done any research or anything. But this particular day, I had to be at work to perform an assignment at about 5:45 a.m. So I already knew right there that I work like an 8-hour shift kind of thing for my job. So sometimes those hours get adjusted. So in other words, if you kind of start at 6 a.m., you're kind of technically done around 2, unless there's some kind of emergency or whatever. And sometimes you just kind of, just check with the boss and adjust your hours out. So on this particular day, I knew I was going to be doing a 7-miler that afternoon. And the reason it was kind of attractive is because it looked like I was going to be getting off work early, and I could get it done and get home by the time my wife got home and the family was together. And, you know, I wouldn't be coming back from a 7-miler, you know, 10 minutes before we're eating dinner or anything like that. So I go to work. Being that I went to work that early, I didn't eat anything at the house, because it just kind of messes up my digestion and stuff. So I packed kind of a little bit of breakfast in my cooler. I packed some yogurt, some green grapes, banana, and one of these, like it's called a Rocket Refuel vanilla drink that we get from my daughter. I just stole one from her because it kind of gives you that feeling in your stomach that, you know, you got some food in there. And it, because when I was in my car, so I got to have stuff that I can kind of consume while I'm driving, and it's not going to be a mess, and, you know, knife and fork, forget about it. So I packed that stuff in there, and I did my assignment, and then I went into the office, and I got assigned to go out and do something else where I had to I didn't really know how long I was going to be in the car. So I did, you know, the worst thing, and I went through the McDonald's drive-thru and got an egg and cheese biscuit and two hash browns, because that's kind of my vice. I mean, for whatever reason, I just like that. So I got that, went to the assignment, ate that stuff. You know, by then it's around 10:15, and about 11:15, I went ahead and started consuming my yogurt, the grapes, and that Rocket Refuel drink, and the banana, and didn't really. My plan was just to kind of eat a late lunch. Well, then I got back to the office about 12:30. Never really got hungry for a regular meal for lunch. So I just started snacking on some shelled peanuts I had at my desk, which always makes a mess. And whenever the cleaning people come around, she always says, "Oh, I can always tell you've been eating peanuts because there's stuff all over the ground." And I'm thinking to myself, well, I really do the best I can to get all this stuff in the trash can. And, you know, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but, you know, just your job is to vacuum up. And, you know, my job is something else, and your job is to vacuum up. So I do the best I can not to make a mess. But I had, I don't know, maybe 2 cups of peanuts, you know, which, you know, those are the ones in the shell. And, you know, just kept thinking, I'll get a sandwich or something here in a little bit. So I ended up working to about 3 that day. I didn't adjust out the hours as much as I had hoped. Got home about 3, got into my running outfit about 3:20, 3:30, and felt really good. And so I went ahead and decided to take the dog with me. And if you're a new listener, my dog's name is Blue. He's a yellow lab, but his name is Blue, and he loves distance running. And I've said before in the show that there's really, you know, in reference to dogs with me, there's really not much else that looks, there's not much that looks better than just watching a dog run off the leash and just with total freedom, you know, real fast. And, you know, because I have a couple areas here in town where I can take them off the leash and just watch them run. And it's just a beautiful sight. So I decided to take him with me, thinking, oh, I'll go out, you know, this is a 7-miler, thinking I'll go out 3, or go out 2, come back 2, drop him off at the house, and then finish up. But I ended up feeling so good that I just decided to keep him out there with me. And it was nice and cool out, so, it, you know, in the early 70s, low 70s, so the temperature did not affect him. And I never got that energy drop feeling that I have when I've even gone out to do, you know, 4-miler or 5-miler. And so I'm trying to look back at my diet for that day. And I was talking about it with my wife, Monica, and she said, well, it definitely wasn't the egg and cheese biscuit and the 2 hash browns. I said, well, I know that. And I said, I mean, that was digested hours before I went for my run. I said, does it have something to do with these grapes and peanuts? I mean, are peanuts good for you? Are they a good pre-race snack? I haven't done any reading on it at all. So that's something I plan to do. And because, you know, going out for a 5-miler in the evening after work, and then after 2.5 miles, you just have that drop of, you know, you're almost just feel useless. That's definitely not the way I want to train through. So this was a real successful day. And of course, that takes me right into my 15-miler for Saturday, and that was just this past day, and that put me up for, God, what did that put me up for the week? I think it was around 29. So yeah, 29 miles for this past week, which is pretty good for me. I think I'm following I'm actually following a beginner's marathon program for Richmond. I'm not a beginner, obviously, but I kind of just want to do the just finish. I'm not getting any. Matter of fact, my average pace is kind of slowing down. It's just over 11 minutes a mile now, which is a little disappointing. But you know, maybe on race day I'll get a wild hair or something. But so I go out. You know, I find out for my small running group who's doing 15, and nobody is. But Bob meets me at 7 for, and he wanted to do 6 to 10. Well, he ends up running 10 with me. So we get back to our cars. We always park at the train station. And he took off, and I went up, you know, just did a big five-mile loop. So I'm coming back to the car, and I this is where the why it's called Busted. And, you know, I don't know where you're – if you're a listener to the show, I don't know where your opinion is with drug use. You know, I'm against drugs, clearly. I don't think you can really be a drug user and be an endurance runner. You certainly can't smoke anything. So I get to 15 miles, about 50 yards north of my car. So I'm walking back, and my car is right next to another car that's it's like a cream-colored Buick Rendezvous SUV. So I'm walking past that car, and it appears to me that the passenger is lighting up either a crack pipe or a one hitter. And if you don't know what that is, Google one hitter pipe, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And so I wasn't really sure what it was. You know, I've got training experience with these types of things, so I knew something was going on there. And I know people don't smoke tobacco in pipes where the bowl is that close to their mouth and where the lighter has to be right in front of them. I mean, I know what when somebody smokes from a regular pipe that, you know, it's a couple inches away. But then again, I just run 15 miles. So I get in my car, not really sure what I just saw. I'm thinking, you know, you got to be kidding me, because where the train station is in Ashland, and Ashland being a small town of about 7,000 people, is an Amtrak stop. But not every Amtrak stops there. And so it's kind of a matter of fact, the train station itself is now the visitor center. It's not a real train station. You can't go and buy a ticket there. But it, you know, has the Ashland placard, and it's kind of old-timey looking. And Amtrak will stop there if you buy a ticket online, and that's where you want to get on, or that's where you want to get off. It'll stop. So as a result, you have families come up there and watch the trains, because there's benches, and it's kind of like a little miniature park setting. It's a nice place to kind of sit and people get on and off the train there. The Randolph-Macon College is right there, so there's usually kids there, and sometimes there's these enthusiasts that are filming the trains. So there's people around. So what I'm getting at is that you know, if this guy's smoking something in his car, he's pretty stupid, because it's pretty blatant. It's right out there in front of all these people. So I get in my car, and I'm not really sure what I just saw, because I'm thinking, you know, you can't be that stupid. There's people all around, and then I see him pass the pipe over to the driver, and he does the same thing, you know, and then rolls his window down and blows all the smoke out. And I thought to myself, you know what? Nah, this is a no stupid zone. You're being stupid. I'm definitely going to call the police, because I know a lot of the police in Ashland, and they're going to come check you out, because this, you're not going to, first of all, you're not going to do this in front of families. You know, if you want to go to your apartment or go rent a hotel room and do all this stuff in private, you know, I really don't give a crap. But no, you're not going to do all this stuff in public. And if you're smoking grass or if you're smoking crack, you're definitely not going to drive your car away from here and put, you know, who's to say that that guy wouldn't drive away high and, you know, knock right into my wife and daughter head on when they're driving through town. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, chances are it probably wouldn't happen. But You don't drink and drive. You don't use drugs and drive. And even, you know, regardless of how you feel about marijuana, I think we could all agree that you shouldn't be high while you're driving. And you know, these guys were sitting in a car that was running. So yeah, I had to do something, and then I decided to do something, and I called the police, and I waited for the police. I got out of my car. I said exactly what I saw, and sure enough, these guys had dope on them, and both got arrested. And yeah, stupid, just stupid, stupid, stupid. And I you know, almost the rest of the day, I was just thinking to myself how stupid these two guys were, because, hey, man, if you want to get high, go park somewhere discreet. No one's going to see you, and no one's probably going to care, and you shouldn't drive, though, but you see what I'm getting at. Don't do it where, I don't care if your windows were kind of tinted, you know, I could see, and just, I don't know. Anyway, that's busted. That's busted. So I hope it was worth it. And a matter of fact, I heard a little bit more of the story. Was there was a running group that, when I was leaving the area, I saw a female running group that I'm familiar with, and I just honked my horn, and I talked to one of them later. And from what I understand, I think one of the kids, well, wasn't the kids, these were adults, was waiting for to get on the train and miss the train because he was in handcuffs. So anyway, a little excitement in the center of the universe, you know, it was just marijuana. But the whole point is that you're not going to sit there and sit in the driver's seat of a car and smoke some dope in front of someone who's not afraid to take some action. And that's exactly what I did. So let's talk a little bit about Neil's podcast. And this is going to be the subject of the podcast for next time with when I interview Neil Richard. It's called the 1 Mile Running Podcast. And it says where I talk to you while I run for a mile. The cool thing about Richard's Neil's podcast is that it's only about 15 minutes long. And so you can listen to a couple of them and then move on to something else if you want. One thing I've found through podcasting and then listening to other podcasts is that it's very difficult to listen to a 45 to hour to hour and a half minute or in length podcast without getting distracted or having to pause it or stop it. And then before you know it, you've gotten behind and you just move on to the next one. So that's why I try to keep mine around 30 minutes. I do the best I can, keeping them around 30 minutes. Sometimes I go a little farther. But Neil is a pretty accomplished ultra runner. He's got 100K, numerous 50K finishes under his belt, several marathons. And I had an opportunity to meet him back on August 3rd of this year when I went up and ran the Dahlgren 50K or Dahlgren Heritage Trail 50K ultra marathon. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do a cross interview. I'm going to interview him for my show and talk and ask him how, because he seems like a pretty normal person that just likes endurance running. And so I'm kind of interested in what makes him tick and why he likes to get out there and the kind of things that he thinks about while he's running and training. So I'm going to interview him for my podcast, and then down the line, shortly thereafter, we'll turn the tides and he'll interview me. And the reason I'm pretty excited about that is because I think I've only been interviewed once for someone else's podcast, and that was Dirt Dogs. So that's pretty cool. We'll do that through the TalkShoe interface, which if you don't know what that is, it's just you can set up a time where two people call in, the show gets recorded, and then you download it directly to an MP3, which is easy to edit. It's easy to edit and put into your own podcast. It still kind of sounds like you're talking on the phone, but it works a little bit better than the Skype interface where I talk over Skype to somebody and GarageBand records it. So that'll be coming up here in the next show after this one. And so we definitely look forward to that. And Neil, definitely appreciate your time doing that interview. So we'll definitely look forward to that. But in the meantime, if you just go to the internet and search the Lumberjack, you will find, let's see, I think if you search the Lumberjack, I think his podcast comes up. No, it does not. So you got to put on the Lumberjack 42KONE. And I think that's... But actually, that doesn't come up either. I think the best thing to do is just to put in tk421.blogspot.com. That'll find it. Or you can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and scroll back a few episodes, or including this one, and I'll have a link to it. So that's what I recommend that you do if you want to find out more about his. And I'm sure you will after we do the interview. All right, so let's get into the email bag section of the show to see who checked in this week. And we do have several. So let's check out the email bag section of the show. Well, the first one here is not really, I don't know, it's not really somebody listening to the show, but I want to announce that the Hanover Arts and Activity Center is having, which we call the Hack here locally, is having it's called Off the Rails Craft Beer Festival. And it's going to have several local breweries. So if you happen to be in the Hanover area in the weekend of September 28th, 2013, from 1 to 7 at the Hanover Arts and Activity Center, 500 South Center Street, Ashland, Virginia, in the center of the universe, is going to be several craft beers with a couple bands, and admission's only $10. And I think that'll be a lot of fun. I'll be volunteering at that because I'm on the board over there. So check that out if you happen to be in the center of the universe. We'd love to have you. And heard from David Williams down under. And he's already finished his 200K fundraiser. And he said he's going to let me know how it goes. once he's done with that. So by the time you get this podcast, if you download it, you'll definitely, he'll have been done by now. He was doing, he was running 200 kilometers to raise money for Cure Cancer Australia. At the time of his email, which was September 14th, he had was closing in on $15,000 raised, and getting very close. Hopefully, was going to get up to the target of $20,000. Unfortunately, his weather forecast was rain. So I'll be curious to see what happened there, David. So yes, you're welcome. I'm happy to announce your event and support it through the podcast. And I wish you all the best, and looking forward to getting a report from that if you have the time. Got one from Steve, and this is, he says he's got a question for me and the rest of the listeners. The question is, have you ever seen someone else out on a run in the same shirt you're wearing? And question for that would, or the answer to that would be yes. He said he was out running, saw a guy wearing a shirt from Patrick Henry Half from last month. He just said, "Hey, nice shirt," and kept going. He said, in the same circumstance, would you just keep your head down and say nothing, or do the friendly thing? Always enjoy the podcast, Steve. Steve, yeah, I would. If somebody yelled out to me, "Hey, nice shirt," I would say, "Hey, yeah, nice shirt." I'd try to be as friendly as possible. I don't really care for, I don't know why some runners just, you know, totally ignore you. Same goes for some cyclists. Yesterday when I was out doing that 15 miler, in order to get my mileage in, I had to kind of do an out and back outside of the town on the north part, and that's a big cycling route where hundreds of cyclists come through town in their big 40 mile loop over the course of the morning. And you can see them. There's been articles in the local paper about how motorists get pissed off because there's so many cyclists out on the road. But you know, some of them don't say anything, and I don't know what it is. I mean, if you're so great, how come you're not, you know, doing world-class races? I don't know why people can't just stop and say hello. So yeah, Steve, my answer to that is I always stop and say hello, try to. Also heard from Tom. He checked in. This is Ashland Tom. He said he just listened to the latest podcast. Here's a couple comments. On racing at the end of an ultra or marathon, this is Tom writing, quote, "I once had someone that I had run probably the last 6 miles of a tough marathon with, surge with the finish line in sight. He kind of looked over his shoulder like he was expecting me to make a move. It was funny. I hope he got a sense of satisfaction from beating me. I do get to the point in an ultra where I feel like I have to run my own pace to get to the finish and sometimes leave the folks I've been running with for much of the race. It even happened at Patrick Henry, where I ran, this is a half marathon, where I ran most of the race with Amy and Judd. I get to the point where I just need to get done, but that never comes 150 yards or even a mile from the finish. It's the nice thing about being a middle of the pack runner. You're not going to lose your spot on the podium in that last mile." Tom, I agree with you on that. That was a Tom commenting on the show, I guess 2 shows back, where I kind of went on a little bit of a rant on somebody who kind of just dusted me at the end of this ultra when, you know, I've been running with it for a couple hours. Sandy checked in. She ran the Beast of Burden Summer Edition 100. And this is in Lockport, New York, if I'm not mistaken. And but she wanted to say one thing about chafing. She says, if you know that you are chafed pre-shower, you want to stop the searing pain that the shower will cause, just apply Aquaphor to the affected area before you shower. It will definitely stop the pain. She says she found this out recently and it saved her from screaming in the shower, etc. Yeah, I did not know that, Sandy. So, you know, I had a little chafing issue yesterday around my waist, actually. But I need to just make a list of tips, you know. So I really appreciate you doing that, but or sending that in. But Sandy said the 100 went great. It was a flat course. It was along the Erie Canal towpath. It was 4 out and backs, 25 miles each, plenty of aid. She said it was really high. It was about 85. She said she came in at 27 hours, 55 minutes, 11 seconds, which was an hour, 33-minute personal record. But the funny thing was that she said about a mile before the finish, she was due to cross a bridge on the canal, and wouldn't you know it, a ship was coming through, so she had to wait for the drawbridge to come back down before she could cross. And I think the reason I think that's kind of funny is because, your personal record would have definitely been much better, but still an hour and 30 minutes is pretty good. And surely it was probably felt good to maybe sit there and relax for a few minutes, I guess, while the ship went through. She went on, she had one little problem. She said at mile 35, she went to swallow an S-cap, and it got stuck in her throat sideways. She had to cough it up and vomited. But other than that, everything went well nutritionally. She supplemented with some water, nutrition with some watermelon, Fig Newton, soup broth. She said the liquids went way down, better than solid food. And I think that's Sandy's third or fourth 100-mile finish. She sent me a nice picture of the belt buckle. So well done, Sandy. Appreciate you listening to the show. And, of course, always sending in the information. Definitely appreciate that so much. All right. That is the email bag section of the show. And I have one last thing to add, which listeners might get a kick out of. Earlier this past week, I had to have a minor medical procedure done on my back, right, like over my right shoulder. And as a result of the minor medical procedure, I had to have some sutures put in my back, just a few. And that was on Tuesday. Well, that was the same day I had to get out and get a training run in, which probably I shouldn't have done, but I did anyway. I took my dog. Well, I went on what we call the trolley line, which is a raised, it's a former railroad bed that's raised through a swamp. And it used to have railroad tracks over, but it's been switched over to, it's only about a mile long. And it's called the trolley line. It's got roots and stuff. Well, I was on my way back. I can run out to the end of that and back home to add 3 miles to any run. It's pretty easy. Plus, I can let the dog run off the leash because there's nowhere for him to go because it's this thing that's raised up so high above the swamp. Well, I tripped on a root, and the bottom, when I was falling, I was trying to kind of roll, you know, to absorb the, because I was going to go down on the ground, which was really, you know, you never know when you're going to hit the deck. And I kind of rolled, and the lower half of my lower body kind of went over the edge. And I wasn't hanging on for dear life or anything like that, but I had to pull myself back up. And then I felt like I'd pulled the stitches out of my back. But it was just the bandage. And, of course, then it started bleeding again. It was all just a mess. But, yeah, note to self on that. Probably the day you get stitches is probably not the day you should go out there and try to kind of do a little, you know, speed work or, you know, run your low mileage run for the week at a quicker pace. But it was kind of funny because, you know, if I tripped any worse, I probably would have gone down the embankment and, you know, fallen through the briars or whatever. But anyway, my daughter told me that I needed to bring that up in the podcast. And I don't know, he may or may not think that was funny. Well, I'll be back in probably 10 days, 2 weeks to 2.5 weeks with the next show. And that's going to be the interview with Neil. And I'm really looking forward to that. I think he's got a pretty unique sense of humor, and so I'm kind of looking forward to listening to his take on running and things related to distance running, especially some of the experiences he's had up in King George. And I really want to ask him more about the Dahlgren Heritage Trail, because I believe he's on the board, and it's a private trail right now, and I think there's been some discussion with the county, King George County Board of Supervisors, about funding and whatnot. So I want to ask him a little bit about that. I'm not going to do the whole show on that, but I do want to ask him about it because I ran the 50K. I thought the environment was really cool, and I'm already looking forward to hopefully doing the half marathon up there in February of 2014 on the same trail. Now, as always, if you want to reach me, you can reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. That's ashlanddave@gmail.com. If you want to comment on the show or have any cool race reports or anything weird that happened to you out on a distance run that you want to share with other people, be happy to have it. So this is Ashland Dave, and I am running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, don't forget to hug your kids, y'all have a good week, and get in those training runs. Take care.